Good morning. He ruined my surprise. I was going to build it up, you know, like I usually do each year about being here. But I'm so blessed to be here. As he said, my name's Joe Hamblin. Pastor Gary, you remind me a lot of me and my wife. I got married. I got married to a godly woman last year. And I would venture to say that your wife's probably an introvert. Because this is exactly the way he is in church this morning and probably all the time is the way I always am. We were out yesterday and I'm like, woo, yeah, Jesus saved my soul. And she's over there like this. So it's awesome. I love it. Those of you that don't know me, I'll share a little bit more of my story in the end. But I was a heroin junkie. I was a blackout drinker. I was living so hard for the devil. I was all in, running as hard as I could away from God unintentionally, but running towards the devil. So when he saved my soul, it set me on fire for Jesus to where I can no longer be silent. Because we have a light that we cannot hide. We are supposed to put this light on a hilltop. We can't hide it under a bushel. So I get excited. I know some people in here may not be that way, but I hope you're excited this morning about Jesus and about what he's doing, because I'm going to have these men come up. You guys can go ahead and come up, and you're going to hear some powerful stories of what God is doing in men's lives right now and women's lives, and he is literally redeeming the earth, guys. Jesus is coming back soon if you're not aware. But see, Jesus is not too good that he won't pick you up out of the miry clay. I can tell and I know there are people in here hurting right now. I know there are people in here that are suffering with things in their lives. Maybe it's not drug addiction. Maybe it's not alcoholism. But I can tell you there are people that are struggling in here, whether it's depression, anxiety, maybe a hidden sin, pornography. There are things maybe in your life, maybe the bottle. Maybe you're a workaholic. I battle with that. Where work becomes overwhelming and work becomes something that drives you more than even your family sometimes. But I want to let you know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And in God's house, Jesus will set you free. He will. You're going to hear stories of men that have been set free. And if God can set me free of a heroin addiction, he can set you free of any mental incapacity you deal with, of any mental disability you deal with any anxiety, any depression, any suicidal thoughts. I can tell you right now, God will set you free. All you have to do is put your trust in him and surrender your life to him. And that's what we testify to, that when we lay our lives down at the altar, when we lay our lives down at Jesus' feet, he takes us and makes us into something. We are those broken vessels that he wants to use for his glory. We are those broken and busted ones that God is going after to set free, to use for his glory. And so I've been blessed with the privilege of becoming the executive director of Loving Hands Ministry. And to give you an idea, Pastor Wendell Wilson was our founder 35 years ago. He was pastoring a church and he would go into jails and he would minister to men in jails. And he would see these men receive salvation. He would see these men come to Jesus, and he would go home, and the men would eventually get released, and week after week he would go back ministering, but he would see these men start coming back even after they had left jail. And he said, I already led them to the Lord, but there's got to be something more. Something is not working. And he realized that principle of discipleship. These men weren't being discipled. They were receiving salvation, but it was like birthing a baby and throwing it out in your front yard. It's not going to survive, and that's what our Christian walk is. And so one day he asked his wife if he could bring this young man home that was getting released from the jail. He had teenage children in the house, teenage daughters in the house. How many of you want to bring some guy straight out of jail that you don't know into your house for dinner? So Miss Nancy reluctantly said yes, and they're sitting there eating dinner. And Pastor Wendell says, hey, honey, he's already here for dinner. Can he stay the night one night? And that's how Loving Hands began, and for 35 years we're still staying over at his house. 35 years later, we now have multiple campuses. We have a campus in Dade City, which is Pasco County. We have a campus in Palmetto, and we have an office building down in South Florida, and we'll be launching a Miami campus, a South Florida campus in 2019. So God is moving, and God is setting men free. And it's you know, one of thing that has been on Pastor Wendell's heart is that you can't put a price on the gospel. Any of you that have dealt with any kind of addiction in your life or had loved ones that dealt with addiction, know that detoxes cost thousands of dollars to get into. Then if you get into it, and we're talking for days, guys, thousands of dollars for a couple days just to give them more medication to get them off of the medication or drugs they were doing before. But if you want them to stay 30 days, you could be looking up to $10,000 for 30 days. One of the things at Loving Hands, it's a two-year program. It's very, very strict. But we have never charged one man or his family for our services. These men come here and we stay here for 2 years. And just imagine, Pastor Gary can tell you how much men like this could eat. But these men are like feeding a football team. When we go into an all-you-can-eat buffet, they start scrambling to the back. They always say, oh, no, we have plenty of food. But then we walk in and they're like, oh, we need to go butcher another cow. But God has been faithful. Even when the economy crashed and other secular programs are shutting down and can't keep their doors open, we never charged a dime. We never charged a fee, and our doors have never shut. 35 years later, hundreds, if not thousands, of lives have been radically changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ and this vision of Loving Hands Ministry. So I want you to hear some of these testimonies. We'll start with you, Anthony. Will you come share, please?
Morning, everyone. My name's Anthony, and I'm 35 years old, and I've been in the program for about 17 months now. Before I came to the program, I had a relationship with the Lord. I had an awesome church. I had a very supportive family, and I had been clean from drugs and alcohol for years. At work, my boss ended up hiring another artist to come work with me, and me and her became really good friends, and I ended up taking advantage of that relationship and pushing the boundaries that things that I knew better. Being a Christian, I knew what God's word said, and I just chose to disobey it. And from doing that, after about a year, it pretty much completely separated me from God. And I lost my best friend in a terrible accident. He was on a scooter, and he had no helmet on. He ran a red light, and he ended up in the hospital. After about a week, he passed away. And I didn't realize at the time how much it affected me, but I went back to a drug that I never thought I'd do again. And I thought I would just be able to check out for a little while and not deal with all the emotions and everything that was going on. But it didn't work out like that. I ended up overdosing, got out of the hospital. All my friends, my family, and everybody, of course, was worried about me. But I was so deceived that I thought I could actually function and like live this double life and somehow it would work out. And it didn't. I ended up breaking down after about 5 or 6 months. And Loving Hands was suggested to me. And God gave me the courage to leave everything and come here for 2 years. And since I've been here, God has definitely, I have my peace back finally. And that's the one thing that there's just, you know, nothing can replace it. And as I'm sure you guys know, when you walk with the Lord, you have a relationship with Him and you have that peace that, you know, when things happen, it just, like it says, passes all understanding. And you lose it, it's pretty devastating. So I'm grateful to be here today. I thank you guys for letting me share. I'll leave you with a scripture verse that really speaks to me. Psalm 118:18. The Lord has taught me a hard lesson, but He didn't take my life. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Dustin. I'm 34 years old, and I'm from Bradenton. And when I was growing up, I was always a kind of a good kid, you know. I joined the church at a pretty young age, and I started playing the drums for the church from, like, 15 years old all the way up till I was, like, 20 years old. And then I joined the military. And when I did that, I stopped putting my focus on God and put my attention on myself and the things around me. So I just tried pleasing people and fitting in with the next crowd, and that entailed a lot of drinking. And when I did that, I birthed an animal inside of me I did not even know was in there. And it was the animal of addiction. And as soon as I ended up getting medically discharged from the Army, that life followed me. And I was drumming for a rock band now, no longer for the church. And I was just hanging around people that wanted to party all the time. So I did that a lot. And that led into deeper and darker drugs. I was hooked on the needle for over 10 years of my life, and I was homeless, in and out of jail. I was hopelessly addicted to drugs, and there was nobody that wanted to be around me. And every time I would go to jail, I would end up reading the Bible, because I knew God. I knew who He was and what He was capable of, but I kept relying on myself to get myself out of the mess I was in. And I would always get ignited for God when I'd be in jail and leave and still try to do it on my own, so it never worked. But this last time, I was in there and I went to the recovery pod, which kind of got me an introduction of what Loving Hands was, because they would come in once a week and I'd be like, man, I really want that fire that they have. The Holy Spirit would just light that place up. But I really didn't want to go through a two-year program. So after, I was like, oh, I've been here 14 months. That's good enough. So I ended up leaving jail. And it didn't take long before I fell on my face again. And God reminded me how much I need discipling and how much I really need help in order to focus on Him. And so God had kept me alive through all this. There's no reason I should be alive right now. I should be in prison or dead right now with as many times as I've overdosed. And God deemed me fit to keep me alive, to spread the good news about how great He is, how merciful our God is, that He just, all I have to do is build a foundation with my relationship with Jesus. That's all He wants me to do right now for this whole 2 years of my life. I set aside all the cares and worries that I thought I might have had and just focus on my relationship with God. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I'll leave you with this scripture verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "But God, who is so rich in mercy, and He loved me so much that even though I was dead because of my sins, He gave me life when He raised Christ from the dead, and it's only by His grace that I'm saved." Thank you for letting me share.
Good morning. My name's Ryan Stewart. I'm from Mooresville, Indiana, originally. Growing up, I grew up in a very confused home. My stepmother and my dad, my dad was a Christian, and my stepmother was an atheist. And don't ask me how that worked, because I still don't understand it. But I grew up with kind of both perspectives. My grandfather on my dad's side was a Pentecostal preacher. And so I had both extremes, and I had my stepmother, you know, that was constantly mocking the church, and then I had my grandfather who was completely sold out for Christ. So I had both these extremes growing up, and so I had a pretty big decision that I had to make. By the age of 18, when I graduated high school, I got kicked out of my house, and I ended up getting married. I married my high school sweetheart. We got married 14 days after we graduated high school. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But I was still young, I was immature, and I ended up seeking after drugs pretty heavily. And me and my wife both went down that road of destruction. And September 1st of 2003, my wife overdosed, and she died right in front of me. And when she died, she fell into my chest, and I laid her on the floor, and I'm panicking. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I'm just as high as what she was. I did exactly what she did. And so I'm freaking out at this point, and I have no thoughts of God. And God spoke to me at that very moment and told me, "Put your hand on her chest and tell her you love her." And without even thinking about it, I knew this was God. I knew it was the voice that I'd never heard before, but I knew it was God. And so I put my hand on her chest and I said, "Baby, I love you." And as soon as I did, her eyes shot open, her heart started back up, she breathed in, the grayish green color that she turned completely drained out of her, and she stood up and was 100% sober. God had stepped into my life in a very miraculous way at the age of 18. Now, at this point, I knew God loved me enough to save me, but I didn't know He loved me enough to change me. And so I still continued down that road of dealing drugs and going in the wrong direction. But by His grace, He would pull me out every single time. And just like what Pastor Joe was talking about, I would end up in jail. And I'd say to the Lord, "Okay, I'm giving you my life. I'm done. I can't live this life anymore." And then I'd get back out there and not realize that I needed that discipling. I needed that in my life. I needed somebody to help me, to lead me down that road of being a disciplined follower. And so what happened was I ended up coming here at one point to Loving Hands, and then I left after 2 weeks and thought that I could go back into the world, and I thought I had it figured out. Well, it took me about a month, and I ended up arrested again. I went to jail for theft, and I was looking at 5 years in prison. And while I'm in jail, I put a fleece before God, and I said, "Okay, God, if you drop my charges, I'll go back to Loving Hands. That'll be my sign that I need to go back to Loving Hands, because that's where I need to go." Well, I got arrested in Pinellas County, and Pinellas County never drops charges. It just doesn't happen. He dropped my charges within 30 days, and I walked out of the jail. I was looking at 5 years, and I didn't get the 5 years that I was looking at. I got freedom, and so that opened my eyes to say, "Okay, I know this is real. This is real." And so I went back. I came back to Loving Hands. I've been here for almost 3 months now, and I'm going strong. I'm going. I can't look back. I can't look back. I used to question God's love for me, and this is something that has really motivated me to keep going. I used to question God's love for me, and I have two little girls, and he used my children as an example, and he said, "Do you love your children?" I said, "Well, absolutely." He said, "How much do you love them?" I said, "Unconditionally." He said, "Is there anything that they could do that could cause you to love them any less?" I said, "Well, absolutely not." He said, "Well, how is it that you being a man think that you can outlove me?" And that hit me so hard, I realized that there was nothing that I could do that could ever cause him to love me any less. And so I realized that my walk with him, that God's goodness led me to repentance. It led me to a place where now I can walk with him and be grateful for the salvation that he's given me. And that's why I'm striving to live a good life, is because he's been so good to me. So I want to leave you guys with a scripture. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Thank you for letting me share.
Good morning. Pastor, I love the enthusiasm that you have this morning. I don't know, if nothing else sets me on fire, you're going to be what's going to do it today. But before I share my testimony, I want to share a little bit about the product table that we have out there. We do have hats and ties. Pastor, I know you don't look like you're wearing a tie today. But if you want, go pick up a t-shirt. Something for us. It's going to be our way to bless you as well for this testimony service this morning. Dustin is going to be my model this morning. He's got his FBI hat on. It says "Firm Believer in Jesus." We also have ties. This one says "Jesus Christ." Simple but powerful. We have shirts for youth. This shirt here says "Real Kids Love Jesus." And we also have shirts for adults. That one says "Saved by Grace Through Faith." But that's not even the most important part. Thank you, Dustin. That's not even the most important part of that product table. There's one more thing out there that's even more important than that. And there's a section on that table that's got our brochures. If you pick up that brochure after service, it's going to do two important things. The most important one is it's a prayer reminder. Stick it in your Bible, leave it in your car on the front seat, so when you see that, you remember the faces of these men as we're up here sharing this morning. We look really good right now, but tomorrow the enemy is going to be there to tell us we were lying, to tell us that we need to be somewhere else. So use that as a prayer reminder. But also there's a Faith Promise Partner card in there. If you would pray about sowing into our ministry on a monthly basis to help more men like us come through and for this ministry to stay completely free. But now I just want to share a little bit about myself. I was thinking about it this morning. I think this is actually my third year in a row that I've had an opportunity to be here. I love coming out here. The sanctuary is beautiful. The property is amazing. But my life... No, sir. I don't think you were here last year. No, sir. My name is Dylan. I'm 26 years old. I grew up, I was raised in Pinellas County. I was raised by my grandparents because my home that I grew up in with my parents was surrounded with abuse. My father would abuse my mother. My mother would in turn abuse drugs and alcohol to run from the problems that she faced at home. And it caused a lot of bitterness and anger to develop inside my heart that I didn't know I had at such a young age. I was only 8 when the state of Florida took custody of myself, my sister, and my brother. And they placed us in the custody of my grandparents, who raised us amazingly. I watched my grandfather work his life day and night to provide for a family that he didn't have to provide for. Still to this day, he works as hard as he ever did, and he's never going to give that up because he knows the responsibility that he took on when he assumed 3 extra children into his home. But even with all that, even with the amazing role model that I had and the fact that they pushed me to go to school when I graduated high school with my associate's degree, it wasn't enough to replace the fact that I was bitter and I was angry and I was upset about the fact that I didn't have my parents in my life. So it caused me to start the very thing that I hated my parents for. By the age of 16, I started a drug addiction that started with marijuana and eventually led to stealing pain pills from my grandmother who had cancer and into just about anything that I can get my hands on to not feel that pain for but a couple minutes. Fast forward through a lot of drug rehabs and a lot of jail, in and out most of my life. My family heard it all. They heard every excuse I could throw at them. But 3 years ago, I called my grandfather in New York and said, "I'm really ready to change this time. I don't know what it is about this time, but this is it. I can't go on any longer. Can you please just send me back home? I was all the way out in Oregon. I was homeless and I had absolutely nothing but the clothes on my back. And he said, I'll do it. I'll send you home. But you need to make sure this is the last time that you're willing to do this. I said, okay. I was in a faith-based recovery program. As soon as I got back home, I was only there for 2.5 months before I got kicked out. And that seems like the worst part of my story because I can't even survive as a Christian. What am I going to do? But through that, the director there gave me a sheet of paper, and Loving Hands Ministries was the top one on the list. I called, and a week later, I was there. I was walked through the door. Pastor Wendell welcomed me as a son, and he told me I had value, and he gave me hope. And now I can stand here 3 years later, having graduated through one of the most intense moments of my life, and say that I have the privilege to serve as staff underneath Joe and Gus and to be here for more of these men to come through the program. I'm now one of the ones in my family where I once was somebody that my family didn't want to have anything with. But now my family calls me for advice and says, Bud, what can we do to help fix this problem when there's problems in the home? I'm now the first person in my family to go through schooling to become a credentialed minister. And there's so many things that the Lord is using in my life in order not to just affect me and to better myself, but my family and also those around me as well. I just want to leave you with a verse that really meant something to me when I came across it. It's John 8:36. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you guys so much.
So that gives you a little idea of, you know, one of the in the trenches things that we do. We literally go when men are about to die, when men are about to kill themselves, when men have overdosed and been brought back to life and rescue them out of the pits. One of the things, though, many people, they say, oh, so you're a drug rehab. My response is no, we are not a drug rehab. We do not sit around and talk about our addictions. We do not sit around and proclaim that we are battling an incurable disease that we'll have to wrestle with the rest of our lives. We don't sit there and proclaim it. I'm not bashing any other programs. I'm just explaining what we are and the difference. We don't sit around and say we're a drug addict or we're alcoholic. See, we teach these men the Word of God. They're in the classroom 5.5 hours a day reading and being taught the Word of God. They literally are being saturated with the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us that we are new creation in Christ. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not who you once were. You are someone new. You're not battling an addiction. You're not battling an incurable disease. Because Jesus said that if I die, all men will come unto me. All men will be set free. And by his stripes we've been healed. So we teach these men the Word of God. And it is very strict. It's like a Bible boot camp. They're up at 6:15 in the morning doing calisthenics, running around the pond. They're in bed at 9:20. They have to raise their hand to go to the bathroom. But what we do is after the world has been teaching them for so long, we begin to wash their mind, break them down, and help them to learn the ways of God. And to be honest, that's what's going on with our society right now. I know we're an older congregation, but we need to be praying for this millennial culture. Because what happens is if the millennials don't get a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ and pass it to their children, your third generation from now is going to be non-existent. Your third generation from now is going to be devil worshipers. We will have more churches of Satan than we will of God if we don't do something, if we don't pray for this next generation. So we believe one of our biggest thing is making disciples. So we train these men up and we send them out. And one of those men is Gus Cabrera that you'll see in the next service. Came in here as a street hoodlum. I encourage you, if you've never heard him before, to stay for that service. But God has raised him up. He came into the program, was going to stay 30 days to hide from the ATF and the feds that were after him for a huge crime that he got involved in. He came here to hide out. We said, no, this isn't a 30-day program. This is a 2-year program. He surrendered his life to Jesus, and God is using him mightily. And one of the visions that God gave him and birthed in him is this conference that we do for youth and young adults called More Than Words. This conference we put free of charge. Yeah, there's Gus right there. That's what he used to look like. You wouldn't recognize him when he walks in later with his hair now. His hair is all like perfect looking and stuff. Yeah, I know. But God has birthed a conference in him called More Than Words, where we're encouraging these youth and young adults to make their faith more than words. Because honestly, we can come in here as Christians and sit in here on Sunday morning. But can I tell you what? That the devil's laughing at you if you do nothing besides just show up to church on Sunday morning. If you don't talk about Jesus outside of this church, Because a disabled Christian is not useful for the kingdom of God. I'm being very, very honest. In the Gospels, it said that salt is made to have a taste. What happens when you throw salt in a wound? It hurts a little bit, right? But he says if you lose your flavor, then salt is no good but to be thrown on the ground to be trampled by men on a dunghill. Literally, if we are Jesus and we are called to be the salt of the earth and we lose our flavor, we're doing nothing but being trampled on by men and the culture around us and by Satan. And yet we encourage these men to get set on fire. So one of these conferences, I want you to see this video. You have helped us for these past few years. We put on this conference. Pastors all over, when God gave this vision to Gus, said, look, man, I'm going to be realistic. He rented out a convention center the first year in Bradenton. And they said, look, you're expecting 1,500. I'm going to be honest. We've been in the community 30 years. We've been doing these conferences. You can expect 300 to 400. Don't worry. And he knew what God told him to do. That first year, we did not charge a dime. We rented out the convention center, and 1,400 students packed that building. 400 of them responded to the altar call that year. And now it's became a yearly thing. And now that it's taking off and becoming big, now all the pastors want to jump on board and they want to partner. But you guys have been partnering with us from the beginning. And so there were many of you that said, hey, I want to partner with this vision. I want to reach the youth. Yes, maybe I can't personally reach the youth, but I want to partner with you to reach the youth. So I want you to see this video to see what your seed and what your prayers have done and where this conference was just last year. And then I'll come up and talk a little bit more right afterwards.
Is there anyone in the room that would say, my life is going to be more than words? My actions are going to be more than words. The very way I treat my friends, the very way I treat my family, the very way I act in my private time is going to show that I'm more than my words. I am committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I am one of those worshipers that will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Come on, if that's you, give them a shout. For the perfect people. This part of the sermon is for people that are honest enough to assess your life and say, there are some decisions I made that should have drowned me. Some choices I made that should have drowned me. Some people I connected with that should have drowned me. But somehow, some way, I'm still here. And God did not spare me just to spare me. God spared me because he wants to use me. God spared me because there's a calling on my life. God spared me because he wants to use me to spare somebody else. You aren't lucky, you're blessed. You aren't lucky, you're favored. You aren't lucky, you're called, you're picked. Let me tell you, he has a plan in store for you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. He is with you.
Roger mentioned there's lots of Inglewood people in there. You might have recognized them. But can I encourage you this morning that the gospel is real and it's life-saving. And why I say that, I know most of us that have already received it, we understand that. But you have to understand, if you had the cure to cancer, if you had the cure to cancer, what would you do with it? Would you just every week stick it in your pocket and not tell anybody about it? There could be people in here today, right now, that are in a life and death situation. I'm going to be very honest with you. There could be people in here in a life or death situation. These men, I can tell you, see, that's why this conference blesses me so much, because these children and these youth and young adults are in a terrible situation right now. We're in a terrible, terrible situation with society where it's at, and it's trying to force evolution, and it's trying to force atheism, and it's trying to force agnostics. It's forcing it down their throat, and if we don't do something and stand up, they're going to be in a place where they're going to die. And so this conference is huge. God has given, I'm not called to reach the youth. Gus has been called to reach the youth, and he's been given a voice by God. And so I'm like, Gus, I'm here for you, whatever you need. But I would ask that you would just pray. And if you feel led to sow into this, to sponsor some students, we're still about $8,500 short. As you can imagine, renting in a whole convention center can be expensive. But we'll have 4,000 students there this year as opposed to 1,500 that are going to hear the gospel. And it's not just going to be an event where they come and have an emotional experience. It's going to be life-changing. We're believing that's going to cause them to go out and be changed forever. And I can tell you that because, see, one time, Gary already kind of gave it up, so I can't build up this story and then like sneak it in there. But one time I sat in this church as a young man that had encountered Jesus already years before in 2007 in a jail. But I found myself back in addiction, and I used to come and sit in the back of the church at the high school. I'll tell you, I was so bad that there was one time where I went into the bathroom and did a pill during worship. I should be focusing on Jesus, and I'm stuck in this stronghold in my life. But yet, Pastor Gary believed in this ministry. He partnered with us and said, I want you in here. Think of this. I told the guys on the way here, many of them had never been here before. I said, you guys don't know it, but this is the church I first heard about Loving Hands. Had Pastor Gary not heard from God and partnered with God and Loving Hands to have Loving Hands up here, I would not maybe be here today. There's a good chance I would be dead. I was a heroin junkie. I was a blackout drinker. There were times that I should have been dead. And I've heard that today. I should be dead. I don't understand why I'm here. I woke up one morning on the wrong side of the interstate in Indiana heading towards oncoming traffic because I had blacked out from drugs. But God saw it fit to encounter me right where I was. And I hope that you understand how powerful every Sunday morning is. You may have just came in here today and not known that God was going to bring somebody in your path today to share the good news with them, to give them a chance to go to heaven just today. And I came in here and I saw Loving Hands Ministries, and the program was hard. Like these guys said, it took me 4 years. Yeah, there's some old pictures of me. It took me 4 years. Four times I kept leaving and coming. But when I finally surrendered my life to Jesus and I said, okay, I'll do this thing. It was 2012 when me and Pastor Wendell both realized that God was calling me to be his successor. So 10 years ago, I'm in here, broken, sitting in the back of the church, wondering, is there any hope left, God? You've set me free before. Can you do it again? And 10 years later, I'm proclaiming the gospel on the same stage that I first encountered this ministry on. And now he's using me to bring others into the kingdom of God. But I say that, I appreciate it. It's nothing that I've done. You can stay standing. We're going to go ahead and close. But why I'm saying this is because there could be someone in here today that God's working on your heart. There could be someone in here today that says, I don't even know how I made it here today. I shouldn't even be alive. I should not be here. I don't even know why I'm here, but can I tell you the reason that you're here is because God loves you. And God is drawing you unto himself. The eternal purpose for mankind was that we would be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. We fell and broke that, and Jesus said, I'll come and redeem it. And he came and he crawled up on a cross thinking of you. And he shed his blood on Calvary, carried that cross all the way up Golgotha, and stood up on that cross and hung from that cross bleeding and dying of asphyxia for you. And I could tell you that if you're battling something today, if you have a stronghold in your life, if there's a habit in your life that you can't let go of, that you can't break free of, I can tell you today that Jesus is the answer. And so I want to pray with you. If you'll just bow your heads, I want to pray with you because God loves you. Maybe you're a Christian and you would just say, you know what, I feel like I'm distanced from God right now. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to pour His love out upon you. He wants to wrap you in His arms. So Father, right now, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You would fall in this place, that Your peace that surpasses understanding would come right now and break anxiety right now in Jesus' name. It would break addiction in Jesus' name. Anybody that may be struggling with suicide right now, Holy Spirit, set them free. We love You, Jesus. We thank You for dying for us. And if that's you, if you're saying God's speaking to you, and one, you don't know Jesus, two, you've never really made Him your Savior, or three, maybe you'd say, I'm a Christian, but I've fallen away. I'm struggling with battles in my life. I want you to just raise your hand real quick. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. I see the hands. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus loves you so much. Anybody else? I'll give you a second. God loves you so much, and it's not an accident that you're here. Thank you. Thank you. God loves you so much. So let's pray together. Jesus, all of us, let's pray out loud. Jesus, we love You. Thank You for dying for me. I thank You for saving me. Help me to live for You. I surrender my life completely to You, Jesus. Help me to live for You. Holy Spirit, bring freedom in my life. Help me to walk away from these things that are holding me back. And wash me with Your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray right now, God, that You would just pour Your grace out, Lord. That everybody that raised their hand, You know their exact need. And even though we don't know it, and I may not even have called it out, Holy Spirit, You know their need right now. And I pray that You would touch them, that You would let them know that You are near to them today, God. Let them encounter You like never before, God. That it would be a fire that would be contagious, like on Pastor Gary. That they would be able to go out and tell everybody what You've done in their life. If there's anybody that's struggling with addiction or have loved ones struggling with addiction, encourage them to come talk to our men. Encourage them to seek help, Lord. And if there's anybody in here that's wondering and doesn't know why they're here, they don't know You, Jesus, I pray You would make Yourself real to them right now. Right now, Lord, I pray You would bless everybody in here. Bless Pastor Gary and his wife and this entire congregation for partnering with what You're doing in the earth, God. We thank You that You died for us, not just to save us and send us to heaven, but that You died so we would partner with You with what You're doing in the earth. That You love us and You care for us, that You would come and be with us today. So go with us. Strengthen us. Help us to be Your light everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, bless His congregation. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And again, if you feel like God is calling you to...